This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
Oh, yes!
We have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
Bananas are so ubiquitous that a world without them is nearly impossible to imagine.
About 70% of Americans eat bananas regularly. It is a major food for a lot of us.
But because of disease and fungus, banana crops around the world are under threat. And that's particularly alarming in Latin America, where bananas remain a huge and vital part of many countries' economies. Before you start worrying about a coming mass banana extinction, there are solutions in the works. Some might not be at all what you expect, like something called a banana coin, and we'll have more on that in a moment. But I spoke with Claire Brown, a reporter for the New Food Economy, and asked her first about bananas' importance to Latin American economies.
Bananas, as we know, are huge in Latin America, and almost all of the bananas that we eat in the U.S. come from there. However, the history of the banana in the Latin American economy is quite fraught. As you may know, U.S. company called United Fruit, which is now Chiquita, bought tons and tons of land in Latin America in the earlier part of the 20th century. And their labor track record was quite poor. They killed people who were trying to unionize. They assisted coups in a couple of different countries. And yet, the crop that they grew and were ultimately able to distribute for very cheap prices is a huge part of economies today. In Ecuador, for instance, 50% of the agricultural export market is bananas.
So what's happening to bananas in Latin America that we need to be aware of?
In Latin America, a disease called black sigatoka, or black leaf streak disease, is spreading quite rapidly. As of 2012, it was on 40% of banana planted acres in Ecuador. It's a fungal disease, and it spreads from leaf to leaf or through the air or through the water, and it can only infect a wet leaf. So what's happening is that climate change is creating conditions where leaves are wetter more often. And the study I was reporting on showed that the risk of infection of this disease has increased by 44% just because of climate change since the 1960s.
What's this doing to banana crops?
So it doesn't actually kill the plant. That's probably why it's not reported on all that frequently. It's kind of this slow killer in that it will infect one leaf at a time, and then one particular plant will have its bananas ripen early or ripen late, and then they're unfit for export. And so what it does is it either depresses yield on certain crops, or it drives up the cost of producing those bananas because farmers have to respond by spraying pesticides and managing that quite heavily.
Now, I mean, farmers have usually used pesticides to manage. What makes this so different? Is it just harder to eradicate?
You're right. What they've had to do, though, is increase pesticide applications. And so whereas in the past you have to apply pesticides 5 times in a season, now it's more like 50. And so research has shown that the cost of growing bananas has increased by about 25% in regions that are infected by black sigatoka.
Last week, the International Banana Congress was in Miami, and I didn't even know there was such a thing, but apparently this is where the banana experts come together. What were they talking about there?
So there's really two diseases that impact the banana crop. One is black sigatoka, which is already in Latin America and which is a huge deal. Panama disease is in many ways much scarier because it kills the plants. It's not in Latin America yet, but Panama disease is a whole other disease that wiped out an entire banana variety in the 1950s. We actually used to eat a much more delicious banana called the Gros Michel. And another strain of this disease, which spreads through the soil, wiped out basically all of it. And so the banana that we eat now actually was initially immune to Panama disease, but a new strain has now developed in Asia. And until now, it has stayed there. It has not come to Latin America, but lots of scientists argue that it's only a matter of time because of the fact that people travel all of the time and so do germs. So there are two things on the agenda that I looked at for this Banana Congress. One is preventing the spread of Panama disease because it would be completely devastating if it made it to Latin America. And that includes quarantining steps, reducing imports, keeping a really tight control on shipping. And another thing on the agenda was controlling Black Sea Katoka. And Black Sea Katoka can be controlled through fungicide application, through literally just pulling the infected leaves off of plants. It's very labor intensive, but some people do it. Changing farming practices so that there are other crops around to reduce the spread of disease. But the number one thing that the industry is really looking at is either trying to breed Cavendish bananas that are resistant to these diseases or switching varieties altogether.
Does that lead us to, when we say breeding, does that lead us to genetically modified bananas?
So it depends on who you talk to. Traditional breeding, which is not genetic modification, scientists have been looking for a way to breed a better Cavendish since the 50s. Nobody ever really liked the Cavendish when the Gros Michel died. It's just kind of what we had. And so basically, ever since day one, scientists have been trying to use traditional breeding. There have been some flirtations with genetic modification. I would actually say a lot of effort with genetic modification, particularly with CRISPR and gene editing. There have been a couple of trials, but we haven't seen any of that come to market. There's a total outside-the-box solution that we reported on a couple years ago, which is called BananaCoin, which is a blockchain currency that was released by a startup that is growing an entirely different variety of banana called the Ladyfinger, which is very popular in China. And their hope is that they will be able to save the banana industry through cryptocurrency.
Well, if either of those efforts fail, are we looking at a banana-less future?
Hopefully not. I, for one, love bananas, but looking at the way climate change creates these conditions, that doesn't bode well for the future of Black Sea Katoka. Again, some say it's just a matter of time before Panama disease makes it into Latin America. And so many will say we're reaching a tipping point. Others will say we've been worried about this since the 1950s and it hasn't happened. So I think lots of people in the banana industry are placing very high hopes on genetic modification.
Claire Brown is a reporter for the New Food Economy. Claire, thanks so much.
Thank you.